Chapter 2. Darcy did not see Hakeem at Blueford the next day. Though she worried about him, she had to leave right after school to meet LaSalle Mason. LaSalle lived across the street from the Wills' old apartment, though her building was a little more run down than theirs. Patches of graffiti dotted some portions of the building's exterior, and rusting iron bars covered the windows on the first two floors. Inside, the hallway seemed clean, though, and Darcy noticed nothing seemed to be falling apart. "I'm coming," said a friendly voice when Darcy knocked on the door. The door opened seconds later. Darcy knew immediately it was LaSalle. She looked older and a bit heavier than the girl Darcy remembered, but her eyes were the same. When Darcy was in eighth grade, LaSalle always seemed to be hanging out of some boy's car window, cursing loudly and laughing. Now she looked like a woman, not a girl. "Well, look at you," LaSalle exclaimed, glancing up and down at Darcy. "You certainly have grown up since we were in school together. I bet you got all the boys' heads turning." "Not really," Darcy said, a bit embarrassed by LaSalle's attention. "Thanks for offering me this job," Darcy added, hoping to change the subject. "Darcy, I'm just glad you're available," LaSalle confessed. "You know how hard it is to find a good babysitter? I know you'll be good. I remember how you were in school, always getting the grades and being responsible and mature," LaSalle continued. "Even when you were in middle school, I could tell that you were that way. Other kids may have made fun of you, but where are they now? I'd never trust my baby with any of the people I was friends with back in high school, but I know I can trust you." "Thanks," Darcy replied, unsure if she should feel flattered or a little insulted. Just then, a chubby toddler emerged from the bedroom and ran into LaSalle's knees. "Kalina, I want you to meet somebody," LaSalle said tenderly, picking up the toddler and handing her to Darcy. "Say hello to Darcy, baby." Kalina put her hand in her mouth and stared into Darcy's eyes. Her soft, round face looked just like her mother's. Darcy instantly fell in love with the baby. "She's beautiful," Darcy exclaimed, lifting Kalina high into the air. "I would love to take care of her, LaSalle." "She's my pride and joy," LaSalle said, beaming. "Now you see why I gotta get back to school. She deserves better than this place. I can't wait to get a good job so I can afford my own apartment, and I won't have to share it with no one, especially Brian. I may love him because he's my brother, but that don't mean I always gotta like him." Darcy had not heard anything about Brian Mason for years. She remembered that he was a year older than LaSalle and that he had gone to nearby Lincoln High School where he played football. Darcy heard rumors that he was kicked out of school for something, but she never knew what happened. Until now, she had no idea that he had been living with LaSalle. "But I should stop complaining," LaSalle continued. "If it wasn't for the money he's making at his security job, I wouldn't be able to live here or go to school," she said thoughtfully. "Besides, he works so much he's hardly ever here. You probably won't even see." Just then, the front door of the apartment opened and a young man wearing a navy blue uniform rushed into the living room. He was tall and broad-shouldered with cinnamon-colored skin and close-cropped hair. "I forgot my beeper, and I," he explained, but then he stopped when he saw Darcy. "Well, speak of the devil," LaSalle said. "We were just talking about you. Darcy, this is my brother Brian." Brian stepped toward Darcy with his arm extended. "Don't believe anything my sister says about me," he said, gently but firmly shaking Darcy's hand. His eyes were intense, and she noticed he had a wide mouth with perfect white teeth, which contrasted nicely with his dark skin. "Nice to meet you," Darcy replied, noticing he wore a musky cologne. "Darcy will be babysitting for me after school, Brian," LaSalle explained. "And I already told her all about you, so don't you be getting on her nerves when I ain't here." "Don't worry, I'm not going to bother her at all," Brian said, giving Darcy a playful smirk. "I just came home to get my beeper. The boss likes me to have it all the time, just in case he needs to reach me." For an instant, he stared at Darcy and smiled. She could feel herself beginning to blush under his intense gaze. At one point, Brian seemed to nod slightly as he looked at her. Then he grabbed the beeper off the coffee table and turned toward the door. "Well, I guess I'll see you around then," Brian said with a grin. He glanced one last time at Darcy before walking out the door. Darcy smiled. "He seems nice," she said to LaSalle after Brian left. "Oh, he's real smooth, all right. Don't let him fool you," LaSalle said, rolling her eyes. On her way home, Darcy wondered about Brian and why LaSalle seemed so bothered by him, but then her thoughts turned to Hakeem. She hoped that she would speak to him soon and that he would tell her that the move to Detroit had been canceled. As she waited to cross the street, Darcy saw Tara and her boyfriend Cooper Hodden heading in her direction.
"Girl, you look like a zombie walking around in a daze," Tara said.
"I just got a lot on my mind," Darcy replied.
"I bet you I know what you were thinking about," Cooper said, smiling. "Or should I say, who you were thinking about?"
"Shut up, Coop," Tara scolded, playfully hitting him on the chest. "Hakeem leaving is bad enough without you making a big fuss about it."
Darcy cringed. "It isn't even definite that Hakeem is moving away. His father has some really good doctors, and maybe they'll make him healthy again."
"Don't bet on it," Cooper said. "Things usually don't go the way we want them to. I always plan for the worst. Then if I'm wrong, at least I'm getting good news. That's what you should do. Plan for Hakeem to move to Detroit at the end of the school year and then expect that you'll never see him again."
"Thanks a lot, Coop," Darcy said sarcastically. "That makes me feel so much better." Tara gave Cooper a swift nudge in the ribs. "Will you just keep your mouth shut?"
"Why?" Cooper asked. "I'm only being realistic."
"No, you're being stupid," Tara snapped.
"Look, Darcy, even if Hakeem moves away, which I hope he doesn't, you two still can keep in touch."
"I wonder what the girls are like in Detroit," Cooper blurted out.
Darcy and Tara both glared at him angrily.
"Come on," Cooper said. "I'm just kidding. Darcy, you know Hakeem's got his eyes only on you."
"Yeah, Darcy," Tara said. "Hakeem ain't looking at nobody else."
"Look, guys, I gotta get home. I'll talk to you later," Darcy said.
She turned and headed across the street. She was not in the mood for either of them. Cooper's jokes hurt her, and Tara's words only made her more worried. If Hakeem left, would they keep in touch as Tara said? Darcy wondered. Hakeem barely even called her now, and he lived only a few blocks away. What would happen if he moved to a new city? And what about the girls he would meet in Detroit? Darcy knew that as soon as Hakeem pulled out his guitar and began singing, they would flock to him just as they did at Bluford.
"Maybe it's just a matter of time," Darcy thought, "until I completely vanish from his mind."
On Saturday, Darcy and her family moved into their new house. While it was only 3 blocks away from their old apartment, it seemed like an entirely new neighborhood. Instead of directly bordering the sidewalk, the house had a patch of grass in front of it the size of a compact car. There was even a tiny fenced-in backyard with a small cement patio, a young tree, and a few bushes. Up until the day before the move, Darcy's mother appeared quite calm, but on moving day, when she and Dad took their belongings to the house, Mom's demeanor changed completely.
"Oh my goodness, what a beautiful room!" Mom exclaimed when she first saw the master bedroom. "Look how big!
Oh my!"
She gasped over and over again.
"Remember, Maddie, I promised you a room fit for a queen," Dad said proudly. "Well, here it is. I'm finally making good on my promises."
Darcy was thrilled to see her mother overwhelmed with joy in the center of the spacious room.
"Carl, I can't believe my eyes. I feel like pinching myself just to make sure I'm not dreaming," Mom said happily. "This is really our home?"
"Maddie, you and the girls deserve this and more," Dad said, hugging her.
The family was making a new start, Darcy thought. Everyone seemed ready to put the painful past behind them, almost as if it had never happened. Even Jamie was caught up in the excitement of the move, going from room to room saying, "Can you believe this?" Darcy wanted to feel as enthusiastic as the rest of her family, but she couldn't. Where everyone else focused on the family's new beginning, Darcy kept worrying about what might be ending. Standing in her new house, Darcy could not stop thinking about Hakeem moving to Detroit.
Angel cake, what's happening?
Grandma asked, snapping Darcy out of her thoughts. In the new living room, surrounded by unfamiliar walls and furniture, Grandma looked uncomfortable and small in her wheelchair.
We're in our new house, Grandma, Darcy said.
Then she gently wheeled the frail woman from room to room and explained what each room was.
Look, Grandma, Darcy said, moving her outside to the tiny patio in the backyard. In that tree, there's a birdhouse, and it's already full of birds.
Darcy was happy to see that the tree provided shade and blocked some of the view from the surrounding houses and apartment buildings.
Are the birds singing?
Grandma asked, gently tilting her head to see the clusters of birds perched in the tree's branches. A thin smile stretched over her weathered face.
Yes, Darcy said, kneeling beside the wheelchair. It warmed her heart to see Grandma happy.
Darcy had worried about whether Grandma would be able to handle the stress of living in a new home. Seeing Grandma smile made Darcy feel the new house might actually improve Grandma's health.
I like to hear the birds sing, Grandma said. I want to hear them sing to me every day.
She lifted her frail hand and waved to the birds. Just then, Jamie stepped outside. She gave Grandma a hug and said,
Isn't this great? Aren't we all so lucky?
Blessed, Grandma smiled. We are all blessed. I'm so glad we moved back to Alabama. It's good to be home.
Darcy and Jamie exchanged a sad look. Grandma had not been the same since her stroke. The once powerful, strong-willed woman was now a shadow of her former self.
I'm tired, Angel Cake, I'm tired, Grandma said softly after a few minutes outside.
Darcy quickly helped Grandma into bed for a nap. Leaving the old woman's bedroom, Darcy walked through the new house, listening to the sounds of her family getting settled. Jamie kept running back and forth to the car to unload her belongings. Mom and Dad were talking softly, their conversation occasionally interrupted by Dad's booming laughter. At times, Darcy could hear Mom let out a nervous giggle, as if she was suddenly happy, but afraid to admit it. Darcy wondered if they would be okay in the new house. It seemed like only yesterday when Dad ran out on the family, and Mom was forced to move into their old apartment, with its small rooms and cracked ceiling. Darcy remembered how much her mother cried and how Grandma held Mom in her arms like a little girl. Darcy had been in elementary school at the time, but the sight of her mother in that state still haunted her. Looking at the bright carpet and freshly painted walls of their new house, Darcy hoped there were no more shocks in their future. But with her thoughts drifting uneasily to Hakeem and Grandma, Darcy had her doubts. Hakeem was absent from school again Monday. He had called Darcy to explain that he would be with his father at the hospital. The doctors were checking to see if the cancer was in remission. Darcy worried all day and was anxious to call Hakeem after school. As soon as her final class ended, Darcy bolted out of Bluford. Outside, heat from the blazing June sun made the asphalt beneath her feet soft and sticky. Stopping to wait for a traffic light, Darcy heard the approaching rumble of rap music being pumped through a powerful stereo system. She glanced toward the sound and noticed a car full of unfamiliar boys. They seemed to be her age, and they were staring at her.
Hey, girl, you need a ride? I got room for you right here, said the boy in the passenger seat, gesturing for her to get inside. Or you could come back here with me, another called out from the back seat.
The driver laughed wildly.
No thanks, Darcy said, glad to see the light turn green.
Oh, she thinks she's special or something,
another boy added. Turning up the music even louder, the boy slowly drove off. Darcy quickly crossed the street and approached her old apartment building. As she passed her former home, Darcy noticed a shiny red Toyota Camry parked across the street in front of LaSalle's.
Hey, Darcy, a familiar voice called out. What a coincidence.
Brian emerged from the car holding a cloth.
What are you doing here, Brian? She asked. I was just cleaning my car, he explained, flashing a wide white smile. Now it's my turn. What are you doing here? My sister said you moved.
We did. My house is only a few blocks up the street.
Can I give you a ride home? He asked.
Darcy hesitated for a moment. Brian was wearing a white t-shirt which showed off thick cords of muscles on his arms and shoulders. He was handsome, too. There was only a short walk left, but she had no reason not to accept a ride from Brian. Besides, she didn't want to be hassled by those boys again.
Sure, Darcy said, crossing the street.
Thanks.
She climbed into the car. It was spotless and had dark tinted windows and a miniature gold and red crown mounted on the dashboard.
That's my crown, Brian said proudly. I'm the king of this castle on wheels. Still looking for my queen.
It's a really nice car. I can't wait till I get a car of my own. Then I can go anywhere, Darcy said, imagining herself driving to see Hakeem in Detroit.
Well, consider me at your service, Darcy. Whenever you need a lift, just let me know, Brian offered as he pulled away from the curb. I'll get you where you need to go.
Thanks, Darcy said, wondering if he was serious.
LaSalle really digs you, he said, changing the subject. She's glad you're keeping an eye on Kalina while she's at the school.
I like LaSalle a lot, Darcy smiled. Kalina, too. As she spoke, Brian stopped the car at a red light, and a small object rolled from under the seat and bumped Darcy's shoe. It was a chocolate-colored lipstick tube. Brian didn't seem to notice it, so Darcy nudged it back under the seat.
So, you a sophomore at Bluford? He asked.
Yeah, but only for a few more days, Darcy answered. I can't believe I'll be a junior next year. Some days it seems like I just started at Bluford. Other days it seems like I've been there forever.
I know what you mean, Brian nodded. It only gets worse as you get older. Trust me.
Darcy smiled and looked out the window.
You know, you seem more mature than any high school girl I know,
he added. Thanks, Darcy said, flattered. Not everybody feels that way about me. Oh, that's it. That's our new place. She pointed to her family's new house.
It looks great, he said as he pulled up in front of the house. I guess now I know where to find you.
I appreciate the ride, Darcy said, getting out of the car. Thanks again.
Ain't no big thing. Besides, you got plenty of time to thank me now that you're working for my sister, he said, raising an eyebrow.
As the Camry slowly pulled away, Darcy found herself smiling and waving, pleased with Brian's interest. But as he vanished around the corner, she thought of Hakeem and rushed up the front walkway. It was Hakeem she wanted to be with. It was Hakeem she needed to speak to.